I don't know if you spotted this in the news last week from Romania. A man with a jetpack reached a mock casualty at the summit of a mountain in 2 minutes, a trek that would normally take rescuers 2 hours by foot. The CEO of the company and the man who did that is Richard Browning of Gravity Industries. And Richard joins us now on the line. Good afternoon, Richard.
Hi there. Hi.
Good to talk to you. So it's like Iron Man stuff, isn't it? Before we get to talk about what you did in Romania, what's the history of jetpacks? When was the first one invented?
So we as a company, and this is Gravity Industries, we've been around about 7 years, and we fly the, I suppose, most, I suppose, kind of human, you know, I suppose, compact human system that you see out there. We've flown around lots of military exercises and done, I mean, we've done over 300 events in 46 countries now, and been seen all over the world. That system is quite different from the traditional jetpacks, nice. Which go right back to kind of, I don't know, I think it was the LA Olympics in the 80s where this guy flew in with one of the, you know, almost like Lego Man, James Bondy kind of systems on your back with joysticks in your arms. And they were actually rocket systems, which are terrifying in comparison to what we do. So the history does go back a long time. The big leap in the last few years has been making jet engines really small rather than relying on crazy 2,000 degree centigrade rockets. And that's what we very much exploited and allows us to do, yes, the sort of quasi superhero-y stuff we do.
Yeah, it's very impressive looking. And you have six little mini jet engines, is it?
Actually, the total we now run is seven.
Seven, right.
So we end up with two on each arm and three on the back.
Right.
And between them, you end up with thrust sort of on each arm and thrust around the back, which if you simplify, it ends up looking like a kind of three-legged tripod of thrust. So it's very hard to describe without actually trying it, but it's it gives you this sense of really intuitive kind of balance, almost like surfing or skiing or riding a bike. It's quite an unusual experience.
Yeah, and you do it all the time yourself, which is brilliant. Is it when you do it first, is it counterintuitive? Does it feel like your body is doing things that it shouldn't probably do?
Not really. No. It's very much like surfing or skiing or snowboarding.
Okay.
When you first try it, it just doesn't feel at all like it's ever going to work. And then when you actually get it, it feels as natural as walking or running. It's a real kind of unusual blending of natural human balance with the system. I mean, we've trained 300 people, 400 people now around the world. We train people in the UK on our training rig, and some people pick it up within minutes.
That was my next question. How long does it take? So it depends on the person.
Yeah, if you take 100 people and try and teach them all to ski, you'll find an annoying 20% pick it up within about 10 minutes. The bottom 20% will probably take a couple of weeks, and then everybody else is spread in the middle. So yeah, if you select for aptitude, which is what we do with the medics and special forces, then you can train people super quick.
How did you get into it, Richard?
Oh, gosh, there is a book out there. There's a TED Talk out there. But, I mean, in summary, I actually was an oil trader in London with one of the big oil firms for years. But my whole family background came from the world of aviation and engineering, and I've always loved kind of making and building things. If I blend all that background together with a passion for, I suppose, sport and human capability, you know, it's amazing what you can train people to do. I just stuck it all together, and I love a weird challenge, and thought, wouldn't it be cool if you could get people to fly with the minimalist addition of technology?
Yeah.
And that worked better than I ever imagined 7 years ago. And now it's based on the last raise we did, it's a $40 million company. Crazy, really.
So Romania, this is a real positive use of your invention and your technology. So it showed you get from the base of a mountain up to the peak of the mountain in 2 minutes to a mock casualty.
Yeah, if you look on Gravity Industries on YouTube, you can see the footage. I mean, even though we've been doing this kind of thing for quite some years, every time we manage to execute one of these demonstrations, it is ridiculous. I mean, it is over 2 hours to hike up there if you're a very fit mountain rescue person. And we, between taking off and landing, was precisely 2 minutes. And yeah, just flew straight up the mountain, landed right next to the casualty with a defibrillator. It was a pretend casualty, to be clear, in this case. If that person was genuinely having a cardiac episode, then do you want 2 hours or 2 minutes?
And what about a helicopter? Where would that come into the mix?
Yeah, so yes, if you've got an infinite supply of helicopters, then yeah, they're going to be pretty good. Although I have to say, they still have to scramble from a base that's usually quite some distance away. They then have to find the casualty, and then they have to either lower somebody down, which is pretty hard unless the weather's perfect, or land somewhere nearby. And as the film would demonstrate, there wasn't really that many close locations where you could have landed a helicopter. So given the weather was lovely, though, so you could have winched somebody down. But again, you know, the reality of mountain rescue is the fastest people on site are the guys in the you know, Land Rovers pulling up at the base of the mountain. The hard bit is getting to the top, and that's the bit we can do from a Land Rover super quick.
It's like all technology, I would imagine, as time goes on, it gets cheaper. But at the moment, how much would one of your jetpacks set you back?
I mean, we chose 7 years ago to not really sell them to members of the public, because there's a big risk you could do something silly with them and that would damage our reputation.
But you're selling them to governments, you're selling them to military, and you're selling them to organizations, yeah.
Yeah, so the round number is around $500,000 or so. But for militaries and medic groups and stuff, we tend to lease them. So the operational cost can be really quite cheap. And yes, as you scale the numbers of these, they can be vastly cheaper. I mean, much more similar to a sort of very high-end ATV rather than a helicopter. So, you know, potentially much cheaper, much more appropriate kind of, I suppose, super mobility equipment than a helicopter, which is kind of overkill for a lot of what's required.
You sound like a man with a vision. What's your vision for jetpacks?
To be frank, the vision 7 years ago was just having fun doing something that was largely considered to be impossible.
Right.
And what's been interesting has been then building a really successful business out of it. And, you know, doing entertaining things all over the world, from everybody from Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos right through to opening baseball games in Japan. I mean, we've generated a lot of revenue, which has gone back into making the gear better, and then got it so good that we are, you know, seriously collaborating with a whole bunch of different special forces. So I think we launched our race series in the beginning of the year, which, again, you can see on YouTube, has done very well. That I would love to plow some of the revenue in from the military side into our racing and medic work and have that diversity of application. But entertain and inspire people around the world with the race series would be something on our list.
But do you see a time in your life where, you know, it will become affordable for people, members of the public, and they will be using it to commute, for example?
I mean, you know, at the moment it would be as practical as a sort of Formula One car to go into the shops, really. Right. In that, yes, it's a car and yes, it could get you to the shops, but I mean, the cost and speed and power, and it, you know, it's all just not an appropriate tool. But then again, the first, you know, I always answer with this, with the first motor cars were considered crazy and, you know, rubbish compared to a horse at the time, you know, 150 years ago. So never say never, but I do think you need a leap in technology, particularly battery technology, to make the electric version we built a lot less heavy, because the batteries were like crazy heavy. So, you know, technology and advancement innovation is all about stepping stones. And this is definitely now, I think, seen globally as one of those stepping stones. In its current form, it's not a suitable everyday form of transport yet.
No. And people can go to your flight facility at Goodwood Estate and they can pay you £2,000 sterling and have a go.
Yes, that's the basic experience. Yes. In the south of England, you know, like, I don't know, about an hour from Heathrow, we have lots of people from around the world come there. We have another one in LA, another one being set in Dubai, and you can learn. And but you know, hundreds of people have experienced what it's like. And it's, again, it's very hard to describe, but it is the most amazing experience, feeling like you lift off like that. It's quite special.
I've done the water thing, you know, which is a poor relation to it. Yeah, but spectacular. So I can only imagine what yours is like.
Well, the physics is kind of similar. You're just throwing stuff away from you to propel you in the other direction. And it's not dissimilar, but this is where you'd really do feel as free as almost like you're in a dream. I mean, that's the consistent way people describe it. So it is an awesome experience.
What struck me most, and I'll let you go now, is that you can lean forward like you're flying. You know what I mean? So typically when we see this in the movies, the person is sort of, you know, poker straight. But you can actually lean forward, and so it's more like flying.
Yeah, so the faster you go, the more you lean over. And I mean, we set a couple of Guinness World Records in the past, and the biggest one we set was about 85 miles an hour. And when you're doing that speed, you are almost completely flat. So it very much does start to look a bit like a superhero film. In fact, it's quite funny, particularly Americans love the fact that you know, science does tend to eventually catch up with science fiction. And, you know, lots of people have nerded out, including the developers of the original Iron Man film, reached out back in the day and said how delighted they were to watch our journey and our development journey look so similar to what they guessed it would be when they put the film together, which was an amazing moment, really. But you do go really flat. It's a pretty amazing experience. Yeah.
It's spectacular. So Gravity Industries, if you go to their website, you can see what Richard has been talking about. Richard Browning, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.